Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to look at, it's a long one because of the story that God laid on my heart this morning in those 24 verses. The title of this morning's message is, He Seals Our Faith. Not our fate, He seals our faith. And it's going to basically address the times right now when you feel frustrated because people have defended. Time and time again, I've heard, well, no, this guy, well, no, he's not for abortion. You heard all these lies, and now you see the real wolf in sheep's clothing, and then we're going to deal with that. And it's discouraging and it's frustrating because I know, as a follower of Christ, that there are definite platforms as Christians that we have to, it's not what I think and not what I want, it's what God's Word says. And it's those times when you sit here in this, that this story, as I was distressed after reading that article this week, that God just affirmed the fact that God is the God that seals the mouth of lions. There is nothing that can happen that God cannot stop, that God cannot control. Now, when you say this and you go, now, wait a second, Brother Jonathan, are you not the same person that says that God is omniscient, all science, He's omnipotent, all power, and He's omnipresent? Yes, absolutely. Well, then if He truly is omnipotent and He's all-powerful, why did He not stop the stroke of that pen on Thursday of this week? This realm is not the realm of eternity and the Lord right now. The prince and the power of the air has this ability right now through sin and man's choice to invite sin into the God's perfection. If God was to stop everything right now from happening that was bad, what He would be doing is breaking a covenant. The authority that He gave the enemy, I firmly believe, was pre-fall, is the prince and the power of the air, and therefore, until the allotted time, and God only knows that, I don't know that, sin may seemingly go on unabated, unstopped by God, and we will battle with that when we believe that God did not stop something, and why would He if He is a good God? Listen, remember the temptation narrative? And He takes him in an instant, takes him up on that high place, and it says, in an instant He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and He said, the authority has been given to me. If you'll worship me, I can give it to whomever I wish. You want to tell you what He would have said if that wasn't true? Amen. He'd have said, you're a liar. He says what? Worship the Lord God and Him alone. So that authority that the enemy has, the prince and the power of the air, that's the reason that right now God does not stop things that we believe He should stop. By the way, do you know what that does? That just affirms the covenant-keeping nature of God and that He never changes. Amen? The Noahic covenant today that's still in effect, and we see it every time we see a rainbow. When we see a rainbow out there, you go, well, no, that just happens because of the water particles. Friends, before the flood, there was no water that ever fell from the sky. Everything was watered from up under the earth. Springs, it said it was watered from up under. So that very presence of the first raindrop set into motion the beauty of what a rainbow would represent. And it's the Noahic covenant, God's covenant never to destroy the earth by flood again. The Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant in Christ, all this very day are still in effect. God has never broke a covenant, and He never will. So though we don't understand His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts, what we can take comfort in this very morning is that our eternity is secure. When hell and death are lost and forever locked in the abyss, and we are in that place that heaven, no more tears, the old order of things will have passed away and all things will be new, we with full certainty will know that never again will sin or brokenness ruin what God has in store for us. Amen? So I'm excited this morning. I hope you are. But as we are not in there yet, some of our loved ones are on rejoicing with King Jesus this morning. We still have a work to do. So what do we need to focus on right now is what we are dealing with. And this morning, the title again is He Seals Our Faith. I hope you found Daniel chapter 6. We'll look at verses 1 to 24. And if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. King Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, stationed throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including Daniel. The satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and the satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and the satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could not find any charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, "We will never find any charge against Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of God." So the administrators and satraps went together to the king and said to him, "May King Darius live forever. All the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, advisors, and governors have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as the law of the Medes and the Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed." So King Darius signed the document. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house, the windows in its upper room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel petitioning and imploring his God. So they approached the king and asked about his edict. "Didn't you sign an edict that for 30 days any man who petitions any god or man except you, the king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "As the law of the Medes and the Persians, the order stands and is irrevocable." They replied to the king, "Daniel, one of the Judean exiles, has ignored you, the king, and the edict that you signed, for he prays three times a day." As soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased, and he set his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him. Then these men went to the king and said to him, "You as king know it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no edict or ordinance the king establishes can be changed." So the king gave the order that they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of his nobles so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God." The king said, "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel spoke to the king, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den uninjured, for he had trusted in God. Then the king gave the command, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den, they, their children, and their wives. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Father God, thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you for not only the truth in it, the times that it convicts us. Father, the times that it calls us to account. Father, the times that it brings great joy, great peace and hope in the midst of adversity and tribulation. God, as we've seen in this story this morning, Father, I pray that we will live a life of obedience, trusting, and have the faith, Father, that Daniel demonstrated in the story. God, we know that no matter what happens, you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And I praise you and thank you, God, this morning that we can trust that no matter what happens. Father, move in our hearts this morning. Encourage us, convict us, challenge us, Father. But above all, I pray that you would alone be lifted up, exalted, and glorified as you deserve to be. Hide me behind the cross so that you alone might do what only you can. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this morning, again, I know one thing full well. What Daniel did here would have been really tough in the moment, especially. But I'll tell you what, there is no other way to live our lives. We talk a lot about faith, you know, and a lot of times if we're really honest with ourselves and we step back and do an objective look, I would even say to all of us, do you really have faith? Do we really have faith? It's easy to say when things are going well, when our retirement's fully funded, the job's going good, the kids are healthy, you know, the kids have grown up and they're doing well in life and you're not having to basically, you know, keep training wheels on them at 30 years old, living in your basement. You know, when everything's going good, it's easy to, you know, God, thanks, just wonderful, man. God's so good. He's so wonderful. Well, what about Job? Come on, let me hear you. What about Job when everything he owns is gone in a moment's notice, basically? How many of us actually, it wouldn't have taken all of that before we were at a place of despondency and God, why? Job lost it all. And I love that because you've heard me say this, so I know I'm not saying anything I haven't said before, but I think it begs to be said again because it is so profound. The greatest Thanksgiving message on the planet is the first chapter of Job. And the reason I say that is because Job's response to this adversity, I think, should be our heart song. When they come in and tell him, by the way, your family, your kids are all gone. His response was to worship. Naked I came, naked I go. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in this he did not sin. I know it's easy in theory, but see, we can condition ourselves. I think I said this Sunday night or maybe Wednesday night. It might have been a Sunday morning for that matter. What we do now and the way that we live now in the spiritual realm is the way that an officer should live every single day. And I know this because when I was a policeman, they train you to the fact that whenever, matter of fact, go somewhere to eat with me. Please let me sit there. Why don't you sit there? Okay. And I always had to say, well, I remember I was a policeman. They bang that into our heads, and I'm sorry, but you never can stop. I don't know why. You just can't stop. You can't stop when someone's talking to you and they're doing this. And, you know, it's just one of those things that will always be with you. It's training. And what you've been trained to do is the way that you'll respond, because that is your default as opposed to what I was beforehand. And that's a spiritual truth and a spiritual principle that we really honestly can adopt, and it will be very effective. What we do now, whether it's really good, a small trial or tribulation, a small bump, is going to ultimately be the thing that we do when we're faced with the crisis of all crises. What happens now when the boss calls you into his office and gives you a dressing down and tells you that you're not meeting the standards and you have 90 days or whatever it might be before you potentially won't have a job? What happens when that child that you've invested in, you find out that they've been living a lie, that spouse, whatever it might be, you find out that everything you know has been one huge mirage? What is your response to that now? Is your response despair? And God, why me? How could you allow this if you're good? God, I've been trying to serve you. My parents could have said that on the mission field when my sister Martha died at 2 weeks old, having left all this amazing life up in Chicago, my dad with the post office and these grand jobs and ambition up there. Why? To leave and go to the mission field for pennies, having to have raised their support only for what? Their daughter to die. 2 weeks old. Are you good? What, God? You mean, oh no, that's what I get for serving you? See, that's the battle that we have. Because we have been sold a bill of goods, especially in this country, because, you know, it's all about the blessings and it's all about the good. And you know, we have this theology that's devoid of truth. We have this theology that says everything should be going good if I love the Lord and he should be blessing me, and that's what my life should be, is one huge heaven on earth. That's not the truth. It's not the Bible. You think that I'd be foolish enough if that was the truth not to be up here? I'd be literally turning cartwheels on the top of the steeple today. If that was truth, I'd be shouting it. I'd have a megaphone out there in the street. I would be the first one to adopt that, because I'm going to tell you something. You look at the flesh, man, that appeals the flesh. If you'd say it doesn't, something's wrong with you. Because that's what the flesh would say. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? Imagine if the Lord says, hey, serving me is no heartache, no trials, no tribulations. God doesn't want any of that stuff for you. Amen? They're like, yeah, Lord, wouldn't that be nice? But that's not the truth. My question would be, if a pastor tells you that on TV or anywhere else for that matter, I would challenge you to see what happened to 11 of the 12 disciples. Murdered. Simply because they loved Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. They tried to kill John, the only one that died of old age. Put him in tar. They tried to kill him tons of times, but it didn't happen, and they couldn't kill him. God wouldn't allow it. They exiled him to Patmos, where God gave him the revelation of revelation. That was his, in essence, retirement. But every other one, the disciples, were torturously killed for Jesus and went willingly and gladly. This thing here, Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators, the satraps, in verse 3 through 5. He had an extraordinary spirit, so the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. But they could not find a charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, we will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God. Leads the first thing that I want to share with you this morning in our study, and it's this. Being a Christian will make us a target. Being a Christian will make us a target. Please understand that I'm telling you that right now. It's in line with the scripture. What? When they hate you, remember they hated me first. Now the scripture says, you will be hated by all nations because of me. It warns us. By the way, it warns us continually. Matter of fact, it talks about pastors that stand for sound doctrinal teaching. There'll come a time, as it's 2 Timothy, where they will not stand for sound doctrinal teaching, but will gather around them many teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Meaning, there'll come a time when they want sugar daddy pastors that are handing out cotton candy on Sunday mornings that don't speak the truth. I want them to tell me what I want to hear. It warns us. I believe we're at that day. Amen. We got a bunch of people in here that love truth. I'm telling you. I hear you guys continually say, Brother Jonathan, thank you for the stand, for solid, godly, doctrinal teaching and preaching. Thank you. And I know my brother, my sister, my mom, my cousin, they've been talking about can't find a good, solid church where they live, and I'm so thankful. Praise God that you have a thirst for God's word and that we haven't had a dog and pony show handing out hot dogs and Coke on Sunday mornings, because guess what? You eventually run out of trinkets, and then you try to sell them Jesus, and well, they were never there for Jesus in the first place. So they do what bees do when you take real good care of them. They swarm. Right? So thank the Lord that you're here for Jesus, so when we have some Coke and a hot dog in fellowship, you just enjoy it for what it is, but actually the reason you're here is for him. And that's the great thing, is we don't have to do the bait and switch like some measly, sorry car lot that says they sold the car you came for 15 minutes before you got there. That's not what salvation is, church. See, remember, being a Christian is going to make us a target. We see that right here with Daniel. We see it right now in our culture. They want to align Christians with conservatives, and oh, conservatives, those bad, orange, monkey hair loving, oh, those are bad people. Ultimately, it's a target on our backs because of what we believe and who we are. And what is it ultimately to do? To suppress our voice with the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's to put enough pressure on us by taking tax-exempt statuses. You just watch. Taking tax-exempt statuses, so why? Well, people won't give anymore. Why? Because, well, I can't write it off anymore. So that's what he's going to try to do. Because why? Well, if we can choke the source, then we'll ultimately choke the churches out. Went this week to our executive board meeting. Got a number of churches on life support. Some of them already dead. But we are at a crossroads even in this community church. Many churches don't have the blessing of what we've experienced here. And that's why I tell you, you make sure that you recognize the blessing of God and be very thankful for it. Don't ever assume that it's just something that happens because of. No, it happens when men, women, boys, and girls have a passion for Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel to be preemptive, number one, in everything, and God blesses that. Only by God's grace will we become a church at Ephesus that would be doing everything we're supposed to, but having lost our first love, which is what? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. The very thing that should push us, even in fellowship and worship together, should be our love for the Lord. Our love to come together and see how I can be a part of what God's going to do in this body of Christ, in this community. And when you see those baptismal waters stirred and seeing that God's moving in hearts and lives and never letting that become something, oh, there's another baptism today. No, oh God, thank you for entrusting that to us. Look around in the pews at all these children. I know pastors right now that would do anything to have two or even one of the children that we have been blessed with here. God has been so good to us. Don't ever get complacent, apathetic, and indifference, because the only difference between Sodom and Gomorrah and us at that point is the period of time before that apathy and indifference and unconcern turns into the depravity that is manifest as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah at the time God's judgment fell. But just remember, when you stay in obedience, and King Jesus being preeminent number one, you're going to be a target. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I often hear people go, you know what? Man, I just wish the old devil would get off my back. If he's off your back, you ain't a threat to his kingdom. When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, yep, you get a break. You don't want that break. You don't want that break, church. You want to feel like one of those people that's in the ring at one of those MMA fights. Oh, y'all don't know what I was talking about? I should have a little clip of MMA today. They get in a cage and they beat each other half to death with no gloves or anything on. It's illegal in a lot of states. It's called mixed martial arts. They don't sit back and just start waiting and see what's going to happen. No, it is a fight. Matter of fact, I've only seen clips of it. And I did in Police Academy because one of the guys was part of that thing. And I saw it and I was like, man, this is it's almost like barbaric to me. But that's what our battle is like every single day spiritually. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The spiritual warfare that we're undergoing. Why are we being attacked? Because the enemy only has a certain amount of time before God's going to say, that's enough. And he's going to send Jesus Christ. By the way, not as the lamb this time. He's coming as the lion, the tribe of Judah who's conquered, that holds that key and has the authority and the ability, because he conquered, he paid the price, and he's coming back for his children. That's coming sooner than we think. I really believe that. I'm not going to put a time limit. To me, 100 years is short. I'm not worried about Jesus coming back. I'm worried about honoring and serving him until he comes back. Great, he can catch me by surprise. I just want to be caught faithful if that happens. Or one day, I want to lay down in death, but I know one thing. When the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, I know that the next face I will see is the face of my Savior. And I hope you know that today. Being a Christian is going to make us a target during the time between now and then. Listen to verses 10 through 14 again. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, I love this response, by the way. Ha, praise God! When he learns the document had been signed, what'd he do? He went into his house and hid. Oh, no, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, no, he went into his house. The windows in the upper room opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Hey, how many people would go, well, you know what? That king's edict, I'm going to still pray, but I'm going to move over here. Just so I don't want to stir up no trouble. You know why we're in the trouble we are in this country right now? Because Christians have done that. We're so scared that somebody will call us a mean and a bigot and a misogynist and divisive that I won't want to say nothing because I don't want some. That has been a really good tactic Satan's used, church, to silence us in truth. Stand up for it. Does that mean you need to be argumentative and want to fight at every corner? No, but if you know something is important, you stand for it. Same way you do every Saturday, brother. Praise God. We're praying for you. We'll continue to. How many babies y'all been a part of with the whole group of you in the last 10 years? How many children have you guys been responsible for? Amen. Praise God. You hear that right there? Well over 200, six in the last week. You think it matters? Think you should be shamed in the silence because, oh, somebody's going to think we're bad out there because, oh, how in the world would you want to disturb the peace? Their lives matter. Those little ones don't have a voice unless we are their voice. It matters. Daniel could have said, oh, I don't want to cause no trouble. Look, he's getting ready to put me over all this. I don't want to ruin my time. This is my time. I'm going to have all this ability. Then I can make some huge change. I mean, I get godliness instilled around here. Imagine what he'd have been doing if he'd have changed what he was doing. It would have showed his fear of man and not showed his faith by not being ashamed of the God that he loved and served. Knowing that if I perish, I perish. To God be the glory. Leads the second thing I want to share right there. When faced with threats for serving God, do not stop. Don't stop doing the right thing, church. I don't care what it costs you. You have a family member that doesn't want to hear the truth? If you haven't left mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, for my sake, you cannot be my disciple. They don't want to hear the truth in life. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Oh, well, I'll just stop talking about Jesus then so that I can placate him. How can you be silent and separate who you are? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in you. You cannot separate those two natures. You can't. You cannot be silent about who you are as a Christian. To do that is to believe that you can separate those natures, but what you're actually doing is what? Pandering to the enemy who wants to silence us in the first place. It's okay if someone disdains who you are as a Christian. Maybe you can separate from them for a time when that friend of yours says, I'm tired of hearing about this Jesus stuff. It's all you ever want to talk about. What more would you want to talk about? What more would you want to talk about than the God that sent his son Jesus to die for me, the God that created me, the God that loves me more than we can ever begin to do justice and explain, and we couldn't in a billion years if that's all we talked about. For the next billion years, we cannot comprehend a smidgen of the love of God. And that tells me it's incredible. See, when faced with the threats for serving God, do not stop, church. You be the voice. You be that voice for Jesus. You be the one that they go, you know what, I think are kind of a little nutcase there. I think they might just be a little off. They're a little overboard on that Jesus stuff. Matter of fact, I've had professed believers say, you know, they're a little overboard with it. And I've actually, you know, my response is when I say that, a little overboard. How are you overboard with Jesus? He died for you. How can you be overboard for Christ? They would say, I just mean that, and they start trying to backpedal. Honestly, I think we've been so underboard so long that someone who's bananas for Jesus looks like the freak. Amen? How about you and I be the one that everybody thinks is the freak? A Jesus freak. That's a book, by the way. D.C. Talk wrote Jesus Freaks. It's basically kind of the Fox's Book of Martyrs with all the way modern day stories in it. Doesn't matter what the world thinks about Jesus, because I will promise you one thing. If you form your theology based on what the world thinks about Jesus, you will have no relationship with him. See, the plain, simple truth is that man can't do anything that God will not allow. Yes, bad things can happen to God's people, but that should not stop us from doing what God's called us to, because you know, they can take your birthday, they can kill you, but it won't happen unless God divinely allows it. Think about the danger when you go out there every week and do that. I mean, somebody gets mad. By the way, you get on YouTube and see all day long at abortion clinics when they go out there and share life, and their whole entire objective is to say, hey, there is another option. We will help you get that child adopted. We will pay for the whole entire thing. We'll do it all. So all they're trying to do is give them the hope so that they don't have to go through the trauma of that, but also that child has a right to live. That's what they're doing. They're not out there to disparage and beat them down and hurl insults. No, it has everything to do with that child that also has the right to breathe and live. There's a lot of pressure to stop. I know that. I know from your own heart and the ache and the heartache of watching the girls that don't listen. And the heartache of knowing what's happened when they come out. But see, what compels you is your obedience and your love for Jesus Christ and the precious gifts that God gives us. That's what pushes us to go on in spite of adversity, in spite of the things so often that discourage us. See, Daniel here had every reason in the world, again, to do self-preservation. Okay, Lee, that woman I've shared with you, I think it was around 1998 when I came here, and it happened a year or two before that in North Korea. She had been caught giving Bibles out and sharing Jesus with people. She had 5 children and a husband. They arrested her, and they told her, all you have to do is commit that you're not going to do it again and renounce this faith in Christianity that you have, and we will let you go back to your family. And she said, I cannot deny my Savior. She was sentenced to death, and all the way to the day that she died, they said, all you have to do is renounce this faith in this Jesus, this salvation, this God stuff, and we will let you go home. She said, I cannot do that. They put her in molten metal, feet first, and she lost her life for Christ. Her family was taken to a re-education camp immediately after. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've thought about OK Lee. As a matter of fact, the first time I shared this, I sounded like a 3-year-old kid that just got a beating. I could not imagine how heart-wrenching it would have been for her, but yet at the same time, she knew no other option than to embrace and not renounce what had been so transformative for her and had given her freedom under such a repressive dictator that, by the way, in North Korea, Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-sung, the first one, they see them as a god. Can you imagine what it'd be like to meet Christ and the freedom of salvation not based in works? Can you believe and imagine what it would be to come to faith in Christ as a believer and to experience knowing that someone loves you, paid the price, and you are free? That's what I think as I've thought about that story. I've thought about what it would be like to be her and recognize that the next face she would see was the one that by placing her faith and trust in him had brought her to this place. What a powerful testimony. As her today legacy continues to be shared by a pastor at Unionville, Tennessee at Longview Baptist Church all these years later. When faced with threats for serving God, don't ever stop, church. Listen to verse 16 through 24 and we'll finish up. So the king gave the order. They brought Daniel in, threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. Stone was brought, placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of his nobles so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up, hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, the king said, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel spoke with the king. May the king live forever, my God. Send his angels and shut the lions' mouths. They haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. And also I have not committed a crime against you, my king. The king was overjoyed, gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. So he was taken out uninjured, for he trusted in his God. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. As Christians, our obedience seals our faith. God sealed the mouths of those lions. God sealed the mouths of those lions. By the way, you know much about this period of time. They didn't have lions that just got done feasting and eating. They sent lions into those dens that were starving. Needless to say, almost 100% of the people that went in there never made it long at all. Daniel, I say almost because of Daniel. It was only by God's divine providence that Daniel was not killed. And by the way, I have a question in this. Had Daniel been killed in that lion's den, would God have ceased to have been good? You've got it. Don't forget that. What happened to my sister in Peru? It happened because God knew that on January 31st of 2021, he needed me to stand here and share the hope of Jesus Christ at Longview Baptist Church. And had my sister Martha been born, brothers and sisters, I never would have been born. Nor would my brother, who's on the second court of appeals, first circuit court of appeals in the state of Florida. Because my parents had a daughter then and a son, and that's my older brother Dan. Martha would have been born, my mom's gonna have her tubes tied, and that'd have been all she wrote. You see where we cannot understand God's ways. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. My parents did not despair. My mother said it was the hardest thing she's ever endured in her life. I remember as a small child, this was many years after this had happened, my mother would completely emotionally come unglued every year at Martha's birthday. Didn't understand it till I got older. So it was not something that just passed. But see, it was so neat because just a few years ago when God gave me that recollection and the understanding of this, I said, Mom, I wouldn't have been born if God hadn't taken Martha home, would I? And she said, you know, I've never really thought about that. No. And you know what that did for my mom? That helped her even at that point see the loving hand of God in the midst of something that had been so traumatic so long ago. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. See, that's what, the reason I believe I love that hymn so much is because it's so true. And every one of those stanzas, you know, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is his faithfulness. Even though we cannot at times understand what God's doing, actually, more often than not, we cannot understand what God's doing. But it's good. And I equate it the same way as the other hymn that I love so much. I'd say it's close to my number one, the Solid Rock. Because I recognize even at the times when not only am I struggling to understand what God's got going on, but also I can't at times grasp the magnitude of why he would allow things. And when you see in that hymn, the Solid Rock, His oath, his covenant, his blood surround me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. And then I love, because this points to our future. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That robe of righteousness is what will shield us one day from the all-consuming wrath of God that is the payment for sin. We have this incredible gift that is offered to us in Jesus, the free gift of salvation that begs to come just as you are in the height of your brokenness. And what does God say? You don't have to get anything together. You don't have to start coming to church. You don't have to stop drinking, smoking, or whatever else you might think. No, he says, come to me, just like Zacchaeus, just like the woman at the prostitute at the well, just like all of the broken ones you see throughout Scripture, and this beautiful picture of Jesus saying, my offer is to shine a light into the dungeon of your sin and to give you spiritual life. My desire is to redeem you, and as you recognize that, you can go, oh, wow, I met Jesus. God, I'm so excited. And you can stay there and shout through the bars as you continue to die in your sin, shouting the truth that you know that Jesus died for you. Or you can, in the brokenness of your sin, recognize that the light of Christ has set the chains, has broken the lock. The door has been flung open, but we still have to reach up for the hand that's reached down. That profession of faith, confessing our sin and asking him to save us, to cleanse us, to be the Lord of our life, following in believer's baptism to show the world what God has done in that gift of salvation. Two very stark differences in those, isn't there? That's why we see in the three of the four soils, only one produce a crop. Each one received it with joy. It is one thing to receive the news of Jesus Christ with joy, but it's a whole nother thought to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.